We will convene the Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee, where we are conducting a public hearing on House Bill 2626 and House Bill 2627 related to dredging and stream management. And I believe we're in the middle of a testimony from Deputy Todd
Fink. Currently right now the R stretch of the river in Polk County is basically set up into many sections of the river. If you put in a Wallace Marine Park, unless you have a jet boat and you have good knowledge of the river, you're restricted to approximately 2 to 3 miles of the river. Same with Independence, and once you get past those areas, it opens up a little bit. Right now, that stretch of the river, it currently has four actual boat docks. The Independence boat dock right now has a gravel bar right in front of it. It's basically useless.
What's your point?
the gravel has actually taken away boat docks. It's taken away at least two of them. They are almost impossible to use at this time, when the water is this low in this year. I'll go ahead and turn it to you over. Do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, no, I took a jet up the river and I put it in north of just above the Oregon City Dam. And I took it to Corvallis probably in 73 or 4. 25 years. How has the complexion and the nature of the river changed in that 25 years? I mean, I'm not saying you can get, commercial traffic, the steam wheeler, or any normal recreational traffic up there. Be very careful and follow charts and all that stuff. What's happened to the river? Maybe Commissioner Probst has some wisdom to share.
Yes, probably Commissioner Probst from Polk County. Probably the biggest change in the river from that time is the river was dredged up until 74. And that was the last year it was dredged, and there was actually Commerce ships on the river between Corvallis and Portland up until about 74. So there has been no dredging or removing of sandbars at that time. Through any of this stretch except right at Salem by Wallace Marine Park and a few real small projects by some of the other docks, and that's it. The rest of the river in between has pretty well been left of the line.
Okay. We're going to have to, two members and I, Representative Minnison, are going to have to go to Full Ways and Means. We're going to continue the hearing. I'd love to hear Representative Shetterly. Uh-huh. I think that's a good suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, members of the committee, Lane Shetterly, State Representative for District 34. I've got some testimony delivered to you, and my testimony will be limited to four basic nut words, perhaps the concepts. One, erosion control. We need this study. We need to look at this for critical issues of erosion control. We are losing our banks. Number two, economic development. You've seen the stern wheeler and the potential impact that has on the commerce of communities along the river. Number three, recreation. I think there's been testimony here from Deputy Fink, 50 boats stranded with propeller damage because of the low level of the water. Obviously, that's having a negative impact on our ability to use the river for recreational purposes, as we historically have done. And lastly, environment. And that is the attachment to the testimony is the article out of Statesman from a week before last, I guess now, indicating that we've got some temperature problems in the Willamette, and in the second column of that, in the fourth paragraph, it looks like it says, rivers run warm for many reasons, including urban development and the loss of shade, sunlight, water depth, river widths, and runoff all affect temperature. Now, we can't do anything about urban development or loss of shade with this bill, but it will affect issues of water depth, river widths, and runoff to get into look at the study that we have here and potentially have a beneficial effect on environmental impacts as well. So environment, economic development, recreation, and erosion control. I think those are all four very good reasons to take a good look at this study. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Minnis and I are going to have to leave, excuse ourselves. I'll turn the chairmanship over to
Representative Mannix, and that is a disappointment because we're not going to get to hear from the captain, who gave us a tremendous opportunity to enjoy the river. Just a couple of... He has this attitude.
The holy man. This is not a thing. Walking on
water. One second for you and Rick's industry. Jim has walked out the door. The gentleman that I referred to, who I misquoted on the figures, John Lilly from the Division of State Lands, is here. He has worked with the group and been working for 2, 3, however many years now. And I think it's very supportive of the bill, since maybe he could just give you a...
Well, Liz, I appreciate you being here. We're 20 minutes late as we speak, so thank you. And you're in the able hands of Representative Manning.
Representative Shetterly, did you want to say anything else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I've said enough.
Very well.
Captain, would you introduce yourself for the record, please?
Yes, I'm happy to. My name is Captain Richard Chesbrough of the Lima Queen Riverboat. Currently down in Albany, Oregon. I primarily just wanted to touch base on the public safety aspects of my experiences on the river, because being in this business, I'm on the river every day of the week, and I seriously think that the river conditions are getting to a very dangerous point right now, and I personally have seen almost 2 or 3 drownings. One drowning was prevented by myself, where I literally pulled this kid out from under a snag. And it's not just because of the shallow water, but shallow water makes the river run a lot faster. And in addition to the shallowness of the river and the swiftness of the current, the river is getting full of a lot of snags and deadheads right now, simply because it's not being maintained, it's not being dredged. And it's a real concern. Last weekend, I witnessed 4 boating accidents, much the same as what the deputy was talking about, right in front of one landing, which is right in downtown Albany. And here we've got 22 cities along the stretch of the Willamette River. The State Marine Board has spent millions and millions of dollars of putting in boat landings, putting in boating docks, trying to encourage recreational boating. And yet, I think at the same time we're saying, put your boat in the water, we're not warning people of the dangers of doing that, both to the damage of their equipment and especially to lives. A lot of kids like to float the river at this time of the year in rubber rafts, unaware of the fact that there are snags along the sides of the banks that would instantly drag that kayak or canoe under the water. I watched one canoe, an aluminum canoe with 2 boys in it, literally bend in half when they hit a snag in the river and dump both of those kids into the river. Fortunately, they both had life jackets on, but you'd be amazed how many times you see these kids going down the river with no jackets on. So I think the snags and the deadheads is a major concern. Obviously, things like propellers are lessons that new boat owners learn. And yet, just last week, I watched the Benton County Sheriff's Office run their brand spanking new jet boat right up on a gravel bar in pursuit of a jet skier. And here are fellows that are on the river just like I am, should know the river, and yet the river's constantly surprising us. There needs to be some just warnings put out. There needs to be more charts and navigation aids along the river. The Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Coast Guard both claim that the Willamette River is a federally authorized navigable river, and I underscore the word navigable, all the way to Eugene. And they guarantee that for the area between Corvallis and Salem, there's supposed to be 5 feet of water in the river, and there's supposed to be a marked channel. And that's on record as we speak from the Corps of Engineers, and yet it's not even close to being reality. So I just would like us not to wait until somebody dies on the river. We've already had some deaths on some of the tributary areas where kids and boats have hit snags and gone under the water very quickly and drowned. I saw a lady a couple weeks ago try to save her dog that got caught in the current, and fortunately they both made it to the shore, but if they hadn't, God knows what would have happened. So,
Captain, from your experience,
he would support both of these bills and the appropriate funds necessary to carry out the pilot study of dredging as of 26-27. And then there is the Division of State Lands contracting with the Oregon Water Resources Research Institute to conduct an analysis of the effects of dredging and other activities. You support both of these bills?
Absolutely. I've been in contact with a lot of the people. I've had people on the boat that have actually been involved in the previous dredging efforts back in the 70s. They've all said, gee, we don't know what the complaint is, because there were more salmon and fish in the river then while we were doing the dredging than there certainly are nowadays.
All right.
I just had some OSU folks on Fish and Wildlife. They gave me a copy of their latest study, which says right in there that they lost over 50% of all the salmon this past year that never even made it to the San Juan River, simply because the water is getting too warm and the water is getting too shallow. So I think when you look at it from erosion or salmon recovery, and especially from public safety, I think it just makes good sense.
Well, that leads me to one question. If we have the federal government saying that our plans for salmon should include making the Willamette River 4 degrees cooler, it seems to me common sense tells you one way to make it cooler is to dredge it properly so it's a narrower but deeper channel. Mm-hmm. Is my common sense running somewhere in the right direction?
Absolutely. In fact, you ask any of the fishermen who are fishing for salmon along the river, and you'll always find them on the outside of all the curves, right where the deepest water is, and they're right up next to the bank, because that's where the salmon, that's where the water's deepest, and that's where the salmon are trying to make their way upstream.
Very well.
So, and that's where I have to hang out, too, and unfortunately, I've actually grazed the bank a couple of times, simply because I had to get over that close to it in order to stay in the deep enough water.
Senator Gordy, do you have any questions?
I would like to hear from Mr. Lilly, and thank you very much, Kathleen, for your presentation.
Okay.
I would like to hear from Mr. Lilly on the record.
Come forward. Thank you, Captain. Thank you. So we also have a Ray, is it Teasley? All right, and I'll check him off. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lilly. What is at stake if we do not proceed with either of these measures?
Representative Mannix, Senator Gordley, I think what we have before us is an opportunity under House Bill 2626 to put together some data from, I think, experts at the university that will enable not only the division and the Division of State Lands and the fisheries agencies and the riverbank owners and users of the river, but the public at large, to know what kinds of best management practices we should be pursuing on the Willamette River in order to meet the multiple objectives that we're trying to achieve on a river like the Willamette, which is right down the dead center of the most populous part of our state.
And is that to say that currently we don't have enough information, enough data that tells us what those best management practices should be?
Representative Mannix, Senator Gordley, in large part, we have information that is put together by various agencies and academics that approach or focus on singular issues. The captain showed a report from Fish and Wildlife about salmon returns, but that's a good example. Several years ago, the Oregon Department of Agriculture looked at stream bank erosion on the river from nearly from Newburgh to up above Peoria. But there hasn't been a comprehensive, more of a holistic kind of a look at the river and all of the various aspects of it, taking into account flood control, stream bank erosion, recreation, tourism, and the like, and bringing in these multidisciplines that we have at the Oregon Water Resources Research Institute associated with Oregon State University.
I appreciate your response. I also appreciate the use of the word holistic, which, as Representative Mannix will tell you, is a word that I use a lot because I believe it applies to a number of public policy areas that we're trying to grapple with in terms of coming up with a response that meets a number of different needs. And when Representative Schaefer was sitting there just a few moments ago, he talked about the four areas that he's keying in on, erosion, economic development, recreation, environment. So what I hear you saying is that there is this opportunity.
Absolutely. There's definitely a coalescence around of the groups and the interests on the river around these two proposals. One is, as you see in 26-27, it's a little bit more of an aggressive kind of approach with the pilot dredging project. But the two have emerged because they've been a tandem. The study has been linked with the pilot dredging project. And rather than looking at just simply saying, well, we need to dredge the river from Newburgh to Eugene, the group that's been looking at this over the last 5 years or more has tried to take a more common sense approach and focus down on learning by studying, and kind of approaching this very carefully, because it is an ever-changing landscape, both in the regulatory environment as well as the environment, just the natural environment itself.
Thank you very much. Again, you said the magic word, holistic.
Excuse me, I wasn't paying attention for a moment.
I've completed my session.
Did you want to add anything to the written testimony that we received under the name of Paul Cleary?
Yeah, I'm delivering this testimony on behalf of the director, Paul Cleary. I work closely with the groups that John McArdle mentioned at the beginning of this hearing. I just want to say that the division is supportive of House Bill 2626, and we hope that we'll be able to proceed with that work because we think it has multiple benefits.
Very well. And I'd like to welcome Representative Nancy. You just I'm sorry. I think we have our last witness here.
Better late than never.
That's right.
According to
do we have any other witnesses, Commissioner?
Not really not a witness, but we do have a letter here from Oregon State University, and this is from Kenneth Williamson. He's the director of Oregon Water Resource Institute, and the background and talking more about the study and the things they're trying to accomplish that are not much beneficial.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Representative. And as I see it, all of the witnesses who have appeared this afternoon have testified in favor of the bill. Are there any other witnesses to testify on actually these bills, House Bill 2626 or House Bill 2627? Seeing no further witnesses, the public hearing is adjourned. Thank you all.
We got called back. He got his ruling to get.
Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee, Tuesday, July 13th, 1999, Hearing Room H-170.